Now, myrrh is subtly connected in Scripture with Jesus' death and burial. At the end of John's Gospel, Joseph of Arimathea brings an impressive and expensive quantity of myrrh and aloes to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And that's the reference that the early Christians are picking up on. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus on the cross is offered a drink made of wine mixed with myrrh. He refuses the drink. And Matthew, interestingly, is rather puzzled by this. Wine mixed with myrrh, that's a kind of festive drink. They can't have offered him that. So in Matthew, at the equivalent point, Jesus is offered wine mixed with gall. It's the first clue that myrrh might not be just funereal and death-related. And the more you dig into Scripture, the more you find that it isn't. It's rather celebratory. Along with frankincense, it's the other main ingredient of the temple incense that was burned in the temple of Jerusalem. But above all in Scripture, it has a bridal background. Look at the wedding psalm, Psalm 45. It's a wonderful celebration of a royal marriage. And privately, I always like to think that that was sung for the first time at the wedding of King Ahab to Queen Jezebel in the 9th century. I can't prove it, but it would fit so neatly. The psalmist says of the bridegroom in verse 8, "Your garments are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia." And then, if we move to somewhere that's even more bridal, to the Song of Songs, that extraordinary love poem that sits there in the middle of the Old Testament, the woman speaks in chapter 1 and she says, "My beloved is to me a bag of myrrh that lies between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi." Wouldn't that make a great Valentine? Be my cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Let me stay for a moment with those breasts, because they've inspired a very rich theme of interpretation, both among Jewish and Christian commentators. For the rabbis, the woman's breasts are Moses and Aaron, because they are the glory and ornament of Israel, as the breasts are of the bride in the Song of Songs. They nourish Israel with the law, with the Torah, and neither is greater than the other, but they are perfectly balanced. For early Christian commentators, the breasts become the Old Testament and the New Testament, the two testaments of the Christian Bible, perfectly matched, which equally nourish the church. Or if you prefer, they are the love of God and the love of neighbour, the two great commandments which guide our Christian living. Or if you prefer, they represent active life and contemplative life. Anyway, moving on, still in the Song of Songs to chapter 4, the bridegroom praises his beloved, starting at the top and moving downwards. He begins with her hair, it's like a flock of goats, then goes on to her teeth, they're like a flock of ewes, her cheeks are like the halves of a pomegranate, her neck is like the Tower of David, her breasts are like twin gazelles. And then he says he will hasten to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. And I leave it to your imagination to work out where they might be. Myrrh, in short, is lovely. It's costly. It's delightful. It's not simply sepulchral. And that is the point of the gifts. They are costly and they are lovely. And they are the best that these sophisticated and well-resourced foreigners are able to offer. And they beg the question, and here we come to the moral, what do we bring? What have we got that's delightful and lovely and costly to give? What gift of time or attention or resource or talent? When John Milton thought about it, it was his gift of poetry. This is from the Ode on the Morning of Christ's Nativity. "See how from far upon the eastern road the star-led wizards haste with odours sweet. O run, prevent them with thy humble ode, and lay it lowly at his blessed feet. Have thou the honour first to thy Lord to greet, and join thy voice unto the angel choir, from out his secret altar touched with hallowed fire. Opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we, from our treasure chest, what do we offer?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.